Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
The U.S. joins a global call to suspend patent restrictions for COVID-19 vaccines. Plus, a state voting bill in Texas divides the business community.
Many companies have really grappled how to respond.
And a rocket ship touchdown after a fifth try. It's Thursday, May 6th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. said it will support the temporary waiver of intellectual property protection for COVID-19 vaccines. The proposal, making its way through the World Trade Organization, could allow developing nations to produce vaccines that were created by the pharmaceutical companies without legal challenges. Backers cite an urgent need to stem the pandemic, but the pharma industry is raising objections. Here's the journal's Yuka Hayashi.
Pharmaceutical companies are very upset. They say that the waiver of intellectual property will not lead to immediate easing of the shortage of vaccines. The reason for that is these vaccines are very complex, and there are only a small number of companies that have the expertise and equipment to manufacture these vaccines. So even with a waiver of intellectual property, these industry officials argue that it's not going to lead to immediate increase in vaccine production around the world.
And in other vaccine-related news, biotech company Moderna says its booster shots, which are under development, show some promise against variants of COVID-19. The results, though preliminary, are a sign that adding boosters several months after original vaccinations could raise your immunity against more contagious strains of the virus. Alphabet's Google plans to adopt a hybrid work week with 20% of its employees permanently working remotely. In an email to staff, Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai also said the company would allow another 20% of its staff to shift to new offices. The changes, among others, would also see workers spend 3 days in the office and 2 days, quote, wherever they work best. And Bill Gates transferred nearly $2.4 billion worth of stock to Melinda Gates as the couple began dividing their wealth after filing for divorce earlier this week. The disclosures were made in security filings. A spokeswoman for Ms. Gates didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Despite their plans for divorce, the billionaire philanthropists have said they would continue to work together at their foundation. The new chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission is expected to appear before lawmakers today. For more on what may be discussed, let's bring in WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. She joins me from London. Glad you're here, Caitlin.
Thanks for having me.
Caitlin, we've been given a look at SEC Chairman Gary Gensler's prepared testimony. What does it tell us?
Yeah, so this year has been really hectic in markets broadly. I mean, you've had the GameStop trading frenzy, and you've also had the Archegos Family Investment Office blow up and cause big losses for banks. And so from Chairman Gensler's testimony, we know that these are also concerns of his. There's worries that the graphics that a lot of the trading apps use to congratulate or reward people for placing a trade, that might actually add to people's desire to continue trading and maybe bet more than they can stand to lose. And that can just lead to really large losses. And so we know that's a concern. And we know that the blow up of Archegos is also a worry of his, and that the SEC is going to study regulatory changes surrounding that.
Caitlin, as far as potential regulation, I want to focus on the platforms that are attractive to retail investors. Any indication as to what Chairman Gensler sees fit?
Yeah, so I mean, Broadly, a lot of the SEC rules and regulations were really minted in the 1930s and are really from a time when we didn't have social media as a driving influence in markets. There wasn't commission-free trading on a lot of apps. And so one of the things that Chairman Gensler mentions is that, you know, they are thinking about whether the rules surrounding these platforms and these, you know, ways of communication, whether that isn't enough to keep up with what's currently happening. And so it seems to indicate that there will be some type of review of whether the current rules are made to fit what we currently need to be regulating.
Thank you, Caitlin Ostroff. Checking today's calendar, Peloton will release its quarterly results. It comes a day after announcing a recall on its treadmills. Moderna and Kellogg are among some of the other companies also reporting. And since it's Thursday, we'll get a look at weekly jobless claims. Just ahead, businesses take a stance on a Texas voting bill. More after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Lawmakers in Texas are expected to vote today on a contentious bill that would change voting rules in the state. Among other things, it could limit early voting hours and locations. Supporters of the measure say it'll help keep elections secure. Opponents say it'll make it harder for eligible people to vote. This follows a similar law in Georgia and bills being considered in other states. As we saw in Georgia, the Texas measure is prompting opposition from the business community. My WSJ colleague Chip Cutter has been following the discussions, and he joins me now. Chip, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So, Chip, there are two separate letters signed by big names in the business world showing their opposition to the legislation. Who's signed onto these letters, and what do they say?
Well, it's a range of big name companies. So nearly 50 companies, including Microsoft, Unilever, American Airlines, and others, all signed a letter opposing what they said were any changes that would restrict eligible voters' access to the ballot in Texas. There was also a separate letter addressed to the Speaker of the Texas House of Representatives that was signed by a prominent group of executives in Houston and elsewhere. That letter was a little more specific. It called some of this legislation a form of voter suppression, and it cited a number of specific concerns, including the reallocation of polling machines away from Houston's urban core and other issues.
It sounds like there are some differences of opinion in how far these statements should go.
There are. Many companies have really grappled how to respond, and a number of organizations have issued pretty vague statements because they feel like this is an issue that obviously has a lot of strong feelings on both sides. And so companies have been pressured from employees and civil rights organizations to speak out, but they've also experienced pushback from Republican lawmakers. And all of that has influenced these corporate statements. And that's why there are these two separate statements. And it's important to note that many of the companies that have signed on to one of these letters are not based in Texas. It's a number of technology companies. It's a number of companies that are based elsewhere. And even within Texas, some business groups have been divided over how to respond. The Greater Houston Partnership, which is essentially the Chamber of Commerce for Houston, had a number of board members who wanted the organization to speak out against the legislation, while others dissented and said that they didn't want that to happen, and that the organization ended up not putting out a statement that some board members had proposed. And so you can just see the divisions that are kind of occurring in all sorts of places.
And to that point, we heard from J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon this week at the Journal's CEO Council Summit, and he took a different view on companies speaking out about these state-level issues. Here's what he said.
Look, you know, we have the same principles about free and fair and open elections as most other people. Getting into the detail in 50 states, we're not going to do.
Chip, you have a lot of contact with the C-suites of many companies. Does this view reflect the broader corporate view?
It does. Many executives remain wary of getting involved in these kind of statewide issues, or at least expressing their views publicly. But at the same time, I've spoken with a number of executives who feel like the boundaries have now been erased, even if they don't have an office in some states where these issues are bubbling up, or even if they don't have a major presence there. Some have felt compelled to weigh in because they may have customers in those states, or they may be pushed by their employees to speak out.
Looking ahead, in addition to the letter sent to lawmakers, are we expecting to see something in Texas like we did in Georgia, where Major League Baseball moved its championship game? Are businesses prepared to put their money where their mouth is?
I think that remains to be seen. What many executives in Texas have said is that they feel like they've wanted to use their lobbying muscle in the state, their government relations folks, to try to lobby for changes to this legislation behind the scenes. Doug Parker, the CEO of American Airlines, told me that his company was doing this, for example, in Texas. So it's unclear how successful those efforts maybe, or what changes that they may have achieved. But this is something where I think many executives would feel more comfortable doing some of this work outside of the public view behind the scenes.
The Wall Street Journal's Chip Cutter will be following this throughout the day. Thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
And finally,
Starship heading back to the landing zone.
That's the sound of SpaceX's Starship prototype as it successfully landed Wednesday on its fifth attempt. A small fire did break out at the base of the unmanned rocket after landing, but it was extinguished within a few minutes. Some previous test flights have seen explosive crash landings. Elon Musk's space company said the Starship design is evolving rapidly and more test flights will be needed. The rocket is hoped to be used in future flights and landings on the moon and Mars. And that's what's news for Thursday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. Stay with us during the day on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.